Okay. Oh, there we go. Yes. Well, good morning to you all. I'm so glad I'm free of the mic and can use my hands. What, you know, the great benefits of technology and just being free to express. So this morning, thank you so much, Pastor Lloyd, Pastor Amanda, for allowing me to minister God's word. We're looking at the Gospel of Matthew and the good message. I thought about what I should speak about this morning, and very interesting. I was sitting at home in this week. I looked around me. I saw the house. I saw the car. I saw the TV. And then I opened on Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 to 24. And I want to speak about who owns you. Who owns you? From verse 19, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Who owns you? We live in a world that is very obsessed with riches and possessions and having the best. And what I want to speak to you this morning, as friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that there is an internal investment, an eternal treasure that we need to store up ourselves for. I had a look at the Forbes list of billionaires 2013, and in keeping with my message, very surprising. There are 1,426 billionaires in the world today. And the net worth of them all is about $5.4 trillion. And last year, in 2013, it went up. Actually, from 5.4, it went up from 4.6 to 5.4 trillion. The richest man today is from Mexico, Carlos Slim. It is said that his net worth is $73 billion. And then Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. But I'm not here to speak about them. I'm here to speak about who owns you. You know, the craving for fortune is nothing new. Jesus said 2,000 years ago in Mark chapter 10 and verse 25, he said these words, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Why is that? Because Jesus knew the human heart better than all of us will ever know. He understood the priorities of each one of us and people, because we live in a world that is so obsessed with having things. We live in a world that is obsessed with wealth. You know, people spend their time making money, making wealth, spending their riches, in essence, Money has become an idol. So people forsake God. You know what is so interesting is that the Bible has more to say about money than any other subject. And even Jesus, when he spoke in his teachings, he spoke more about money than anything else. Very interesting. You know, giving is part of Cornerstone, you know, one of our values. And I believe God is going to bless us as we give. Because there are great gifts or benefits to giving. Jesus says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so this morning, the topic of money is both personal, I believe, and is theological. And if you could put it under the theological perspective, there are three types of theology. First of all, there's this, what they call the poverty theology. It says, and those who have this view say, it is wrong to have excess of money and of things. There's a theology, secondly, that speaks about the prosperity theology. And this teaching wrongly assumes that prosperity is the reward of the righteous. This cause and effect relationship implies that if God is happy with you, he will bless you financially. If he's not pleased with you, you won't be blessed with possessions. But I believe there is a proper theology. You see, the proper way that we need to view our possessions is that we are stewards of what God has given us. Everything belongs to him. The psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so we are stewards of what we own. And so this morning, I'll just for a few moments just make some observations of what Jesus is really saying to us. I want to say we all struggle with materialism. We all struggle, including myself. But sometimes we are not comfortable with the struggle. If we're honest, we don't like materialism's mantra. You know, John Stott, he put it this way. We cannot maintain a life of extravagance and good conscience simultaneously. One or the other has to be sacrificed. Either we keep our conscience and reduce our affluence by giving generously and helping those in need, or we keep our affluence and smother our conscience. We have to choose between God and money. And Jesus realized that in his day, people were struggling with money. People were poor. The people around him, he met poor people. He met rich people. So who owns us? There's a story about old Jack Benny. It says that a robber approached Benny and demanded, you know, as they say, your money or your life. Benny hesitates and says nothing. Finally, the robber says, well, what will it be? And Benny replies, don't rush me, I'm thinking about it. Yes. You know, Jesus taught many different topics, and the issue of money and treasure was one of the issues he mentions. And those who listened to him, the Pharisees and the people, were impressed with what he was going to say. And then he comes to the subject of money. We know that we work for money. We live for money. We think about money. And we worry that we don't have enough. But I believe Jesus gives us the key in these verses. And he asks us the question, where is your treasure? And in these verses, as I meditated and I read it through, and I say, Lord, what you say? Jesus, what you say? There are four tests that I would like us to just have a look at in answering the question, where is your treasure? The first test is the durability test. Verse 19 and verse 20, we read, he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The question with this test is, how long will it last? Money doesn't last long. Soon you run out of money. And Jesus says, don't store yourselves treasures on earth. Do not store for yourselves your possessions on earth. That is a counterculture. Because we all think about investment. We think about having insurance. But at the end of the day, they put you in a nice coffin and there you go. Jesus says, store yourselves treasures in heaven. What is interesting is that Jesus uses this word treasure instead of money, but at the end he uses money and the world and God. Sometimes we have a lack of cash. We maybe do not have money. So what is your treasure? Your treasure might be a home, a car, a job, a computer, shoes. The Lord is saying, don't focus your treasure on what you have. Focus on eternity. Because that is where you will spend the rest of your life if you are a follower of Christ. You know, Jesus was a good life skill coach. You know what's the first life skill he teaches us? He says, stop living for today. Stop living for today. The command is in the present tense, if you will notice. And what it literally means is to stop storing up. We are to do something. If we are to stop doing something that by nature we have been doing for the most of our lives, Jesus knows that our natural inborn desire is to accumulate things. And so Jesus says, get rid of this stuff, man. Because we are just stewards. I want to say that it doesn't mean that we must not have material possessions. Or we must own property or save for the future. The key word or the key phrase that Jesus used is for yourselves. For me. It's me. It's mine. And Jesus is preaching against this nature. It's mine. I own this car. I own that house. And when you look at life, two things happen to our possessions or our treasure or money. First of all, they decay. They decay. And in the times that Jesus lived, wealth was measured by clothing, the clothes that I wore. And garments, you know, that people wore was a considerable investment. And the best clothes were actually made of wool. But no matter how beautiful the clothing is or was, moths would often attack and chew right into the garment. And then secondly, Jesus is saying our possessions not only can decay, but they can disappear. You know, these days with hackers and thieves, they're getting more advanced. They can steal your car. If you're living in Cape Town, it's worse. They steal a whole car. tires, windscreen, wipers, everything. You can't park your car in Cape Town. Not I'm making Cape Town bad, but if you leave your car outside, the car is gone in 10 minutes. Possessions can disappear. You know, valuables in those days, you know, where did they hide it? They didn't have banks like ANZ and BNZ and Westpac. They hid it in the field. Or they hid it in a brick wall. And you know what the thieves used to do? They knew where these treasures were. And they would break these walls. Because they knew that is where the treasures are. You see, earthly treasures are fleeting and futile, but heavenly treasures are secure. Nobody can steal in heaven. There's no way. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you." That is the investment I want. Because I know my things are not going to last. Lance, you can give it, you can take it. When I'm no longer there, it's theirs. You know, the treasures of heaven, they are moth-proof, they are rust-proof, and they are burglar-proof. So I want to encourage you, invest in heavenly treasures. You see, the issue is not whether we will store up wealth. That's a given. It's a given. The only question is, where will we do our banking? I'm not talking about the physical banking. Where will we do our banking? And Jesus makes this important challenge to us that our investments, if it's heaven-focused, it is permanent, and guaranteed. You know the banks today, when you invest money, they say you have a certain interest. But it's your money. So store your treasure in heaven. Give your life. Realize that these things are going to be fleeting. It's going to disappear. They are protected and insured by God Himself. Who better to have insurance with God? I believe that the present life that we're living, there are two things that will last forever. The Word of God and people. That's it. Everything else will disappear. Cars, boats, homes, clothes, whatever. But the Word of God and people last forever. Yes, people die, but there's more importance for the soul. Get saved. And then secondly, the second test that we need to look at is, it asks the question, where are you investing your time and money? Verse 21, Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." And to put it plainly, Jesus is saying that your heart follows your money. Because that's not the way most of us actually think. We tend to think our money follows our heart. Think about that. If our heart is right, we will spend our money wisely. And not just go for anything we see. Oh, I want that, I want that. Whatever you invest your time and money in will become important to you. If it's money, you will just talk about money. Oh, they money. And too many of us spend too on things on this world that is now of none importance. Yes, we need to give. But sometimes we are so focused and we are so obsessed. We live in a world, as I said, we are living in a world that is obsessed with the latest gadgets and cars and whatever. But we need to make a decision. Who owns us? Does Jesus own us? It brings to me the third test, and that is the mind test. That's why I read verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The third test asks the question, where is your focus? Do you just see the material world, or do you look beyond today? Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body. In actual fact, the eye is the symbol for the mind. Jesus is saying that there are only two possible ways to look at things. If our minds focus only on things down here, we will be full of darkness. The natural eye focuses on our physical existence, but the spiritual eye looks or locks into what really matters. And Jesus distinguishes what is important to you. You see, when money or possessions become our number one obsession, it blinds our eyes to the realities of God. God is no longer important because I've got everything. So I want to encourage us today that we have our focus on God. And then fourthly, the last test is the master test. It's asked the question, and Jesus says, whom do you serve? Jesus says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. What I enjoy about Jesus is he was straight to the point. He didn't waver or say, oh, you know, I maybe. He cut straight. You know, the word serve means that we've made a choice and we have engaged our wills. If we are not careful, we can be deluded by thinking material things will last forever, and they will not last forever. Our emotions can affect our minds, which in turn can cause our wills to be in the grip of money with a capital M. I need money. Jesus, you know what is interesting? Jesus uses the word mammon for money, which is actually a proper noun or a name. And Jesus viewed money as a rival for preeminence. What occupies me? And when we are attached to money, it detaches us from God. When we become so obsessed with things, it moves us away from God. And I've seen many people. And there's one thing I've decided. This material life is not going to keep me away from God. I might have a need, but my God is greater. You see, to be a committed Christ follower is not just about emotions or our minds. It requires service and sacrifice. That is the greatest challenge for any person who commits themselves to Christ. Service and sacrifice. You know, we often hear the term or the expression, money talks. And if money could speak, have lips, it would say this. You hold me in your hand and you call me yours. Yet may I not as well call you mine? See how easily I rule you. To gain you, you would all but die. I am invaluable as rain, essential as water, yet I do not hold the power of life. I am futile without the stamp of your desire. I go nowhere unless you send me. My power is terrific. Handle me carefully and wisely, lest you become my servant rather than I yours. Someone has said these words, money is a wonderful servant, but a lousy master. A lousy master. Hey. And when you look at these tests that Jesus, as we gathered from the scriptures, you know, greed is another thing that Jesus addressed. And in Luke chapter 12, 13 to 21, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time. Jesus speaks about this man who has all these fields and he wants more and he wants more and he wants more. But he didn't realize his eternity. And he thought for himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. This is what I will do. I'll tear down my barns, just to give you an overview of what Jesus is speaking about, and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods, and I will say to myself, I have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And in that verses of scripture, you will notice the word me, myself, and I. Nothing but God. And I was sad. You see, his greed was unchecked. He thought he had everything together, and then God burst the bubble. There are many people who accumulate so many things and they think, wow, I'm safe, I'm secure. And God just bursts the bubble. Life happens. Where now? All is gone. There's a saying, when you've got money, there's a lot of friends. But when the money's gone, friends go. I want you to realize the deception that Satan has put in people's hearts when they think that possessions and treasures and gifts and cars and boats, whatever, makes you secure. But Satan is a liar. He came to kill, to rob, and to destroy. But Jesus says, don't store for yourself treasures on earth. We should not have just an earthly perspective, but a heavenly perspective. The life to come. Because when we die, we leave everything. The Bible says that naked, with nothing we came into this world, and with nothing we will leave. We live in a culture that honors those who make a lot of money. You know, whatever they do, whether it's billionaires, whether it's stars, we are so obsessed. But let one thing happen, then we turn our back. We walk the other way. And so I believe that Christian culture is something that goes against the world. Jesus sums up that parable that I spoke about in verse 21. He says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up his things for himself but is not rich toward God. Let me tell you today, God is not impressed with your possessions. He's not impressed. Because when you give cheerfully, and when you give with a heart that is pure, that is when God blesses. And so I want to encourage you to take this four-part test. The durability test, the heart test, the mind test, and the master test. I end off with the story of Peter. The apostle, we always speak about Peter in heaven. It says, a rich man died and went to heaven. As he went through the pearly gates, Peter came to greet him and said, welcome to heaven. Let me show where you will be staying. That suited the rich man just fine, because as he looked around, he saw mansions stretching out in every direction. They were beautiful. They appeared to be constructed of gold and silver and precious gems. As Peter and the rich man began to walk along the streets of gold, they came to an ornate home. It's a very expensive home. As they paused to gaze at it, the rich man said, who gets to stay here? Saint Peter replied, that's for your janitor. He was a godly man who loved Jesus and served him all his life. This is his reward. They continued to stroll past other mansions until they stopped in front of an extremely large one that seemed to be made of emeralds and rubies. The rich man asked Peter, is this mine? Peter answered, no, this one belongs to your maid. On the little bit of money you paid her, she raised 6 children and gave her church every week. They continued to walk and came to a different section of homes. Only those houses weren't as nice. As they walked up a small hill, they stopped in front of a shack made of tar paper and used sheet metal. The front door was cut out of an old refrigerator box. Getting the picture? It was held together by wire and twine. After passing for a moment, the rich man asked, and whose is that? Peter responded, well, it's yours. The rich man couldn't believe it. There must be some mistake. Peter bowed his head and said, no. There's been no mistake. We did the best with what you sent ahead. And so today, it might seem a very human story, but I believe that is how God is going to reward us. Every day of my life, I ask myself, you know, you've got all this, and you've been so blessed. We live in a blessed country. But let us not become obsessed with the blessings. And I trust that today it will really reawaken us, our purpose as a church and as individuals. I don't know, maybe this has been a challenging word for you, but I believe God wants to say something to us. You know, the riches of this world is going to end, but heaven is ahead. And I want to get there, safe and secure. And may God bless you.
Well, thanks, Ed.